Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Tennis Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast are presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. And welcome, everybody, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is currently Thursday, January 26th, and it's time to go through the Australian Open semifinals. And it's definitely been a very fun tournament. Still a lot of good tennis left. And I'm your host, Scott Reichel, as always, joined by my co-host, Sam Jacob. And together, we're going to break down those two matches for you, taking place on a Thursday night into Friday morning. First of all, Sam, how's it going with you? How have you, from scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the tournament so far?
It's kind of all over the place, so it's really tough to say. I'd say it's like more or less kind of like an average sort of tournament. We've seen a lot of Americans pull through here, and we have one of them in the semifinal, so that's very exciting. So I'm gonna give it about a 7.8.
Okay, I was gonna give it a flat 8, so I think we're seeing eye to eye here. I think it's definitely been a very unpredictable tournament, which is something that you're not used to seeing on the men's side. I know Nadal was compromised beforehand, and we didn't expect him to do much in this event, but the fact that Ruud and Fritz and all these other guys, Berrettini in the first round, all these guys lost immediately, was kind of a bit shocking, and that resulted in a lot of parity in the tournament, especially with Djokovic's injury early on. Now, Djokovic seems to be back to normal. We'll talk about that later, but the point is there was a little while there in the tournament where it felt entirely up for grabs. And that's a feeling that I don't think we've had in a tournament in a relatively long time. So definitely a unique element there. Other than that, though, it's been very good. I think that you've seen some high quality tennis. You've seen some very competitive matches. Unfortunately, though, you did have Kyrgios who got injured before the event, and you had a couple of other guys who you were hoping would do more and apparently lost early, but I give it an 8. I think it's been a solid overall tournament. There's been a lot of upsets, a lot of drama. The only concern for me would be the constant delays with the either rain or heat, and there's been some scheduling issues for some of the events in Australia, which they're going to have to fix moving forward because some of these matches got delayed on the outer courts in the first couple rounds for an indefinite amount of hours, and it got really annoying trying to keep track of those matches.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the weather. At a point, they just weren't starting matches because of just the timing of each match. So yeah, it got a little crazy with those. But I feel like it happens every single year. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. But we've just seen a lot of people that, you know, we didn't really expect to see here. You know, Ben Shelton making the quarterfinals, we would have never expected. And we haven't seen the dominant players really be up there with Medvedev. Obviously, Djokovic we have, but we haven't seen, you know, Medvedev or Kyrgios or Nadal being there. So we got a couple of new faces, a couple of guys that are veterans and have done pretty well in the past, like Tsitsipas and Khachanov. But a guy like Tommy Paul is brand new to this type of stage. So it's very interesting to see. And it's also high quality tennis, still high quality tennis. So still a very good tournament. And we have still three great matches to break down for you.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. But before I get into any of the previews for the semis, do you want to recap how we did on the last episode? Overall, I went 1-0-1. I had a push. Starting off with the dog, I won. I had Tsitsipas under 4.5 breaks at +120 against Leshika. That line actually closed at -115, and it was never in doubt. Tsitsipas broke in the first game and the last game of the match and had no breaks in between. So he finished with 2. And unfortunately, my lock was a sweat-free winner. I had Kakhanov over 1.5 breaks, or 1.5 or 2.5. I'm trying to remember what it was. It was... Okay, either way. The point is I had Kakhanov over in his breaks, and he had 4. He went well over. And then Korda retired. Korda, midway through the third set, hurt his wrist and said, "No mas, I can't go on anymore. Go on without me." And he proceeded to retire. And as a result, my bet, which automatically won because he went over, was graded as a push. And that is definitely a really, really sad, painful push there, because I already won the bet. He went over in breaks. But of course, with some of these props, you have to actually complete the full match, and these sportsbooks won't give you any leniency there because they don't want to pay you if they don't have to. So I ended up going 1-0-1. Should have been 2-0, but a painful push there with Kachanov there, because Korda ended up getting injured.
Yeah, it's tough to see, and with these books rules, that's why it's so important to take a look at it. But in this type of situation, there's nothing really you could do about it, especially you have a winning pick there. So that's just a shame to see. I went 1-1. I had Korda money line, which, you know, Kachanov just outplayed him all the way, and Korda decided to drop out, which is still considered a loss. We didn't get the plus side of the draw there.
If you bet it with the local man down the street, though, then you went 1-0-1 like me. So.
All right, I'll take that, but I'm going to consider it still a 1-1 here. I Djokovic 3-0, and he dominated Rublev just like he dominated Demon Hour there, so we were able to take home some plus money on that pick. We're going to see how Djokovic is going to go moving forward, but I feel like it's going to be maybe some of the similar.
That match was an absolute clinic from Djokovic, just watching the whole thing. Rublev entered the match looking like he had no chance to win. I don't even mean based on actual performance. I mean based on actual just mental state. Rublev entered the match and he came out extremely flat. It looked like he knew from the get-go, this guy again. And then Rublev immediately got killed in the first set and it was over from there. It was very windy, which was something that both players kind of had to adjust to. But Djokovic was so damn good. It's the second straight match he's played in where he's not gotten broken. So serving-wise, he's been incredible. And Rublev had a couple of break points, wasn't able to break through. And that was the story of the match, because Djokovic was all over Rublev's service points or service games in every set. And Djokovic won each set 6-4 or less. It was really just a bloodbath. And Djokovic, it seems like it was a long time ago he had a hamstring injury, because he just beat two separate guys that were ranked and one guy in the top 10. Rublev, I think, was 6th, right? He wasn't in the top 5, or was he technically top 5? I'm trying to remember if he was 5th.
Just in the tournament or overall ranking?
Overall ranking, I know, is not in the top 5, but in this tournament, I believe he's 5th, correct?
I'm trying to think who was not in it, though, of the top. Alcaraz, yes.
Okay, so point is, he beat a top 5 guy in this tournament in straight sets handily, and now he faces Tommy Paul. And shout out to Tommy Paul. He ended up taking care of Shelton. Great run by Shelton. A round of applause for him. Got a little bit dicey there towards the end of the third set. He was up a break, basically 2 games away from advancing in straight sets. Then he choked, and he ended up getting broken twice. Shelton won the set, and then Tommy Paul broke immediately and coasted to a nice 4-set victory there. But I do want to go through your thoughts on the match there. I guess we'll start off with the Djokovic match since you brought it up. But before you get into any of that breakdown, I want to take a quick word from our sponsors. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Game Podcast and Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are a ton of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to bet on the NFC and AFC title games. So if you want to bet on some same game parlays, if you want to bet in the middle of the game, you can do so at WynnBET. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 and get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamepodcast.com/WynnBET, so they know we sent you. sportsgamepodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough winbet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back, everyone, to the Tennis Gambling Podcast. Just finished recapping how we did on the last episode for the quarters and kind of just an overall summary of the tournament up to this point. Now it's time to get into the fun part, which is the semifinal match breakdowns. And we're going to start off with Novak Djokovic. We're kind of going out of order in this one, but to be honest, I really don't care because we started talking about Joker, and it's going to segue us into our thoughts on his match. And you can tell Djokovic is pretty healthy because it's the semifinal of a Grand Slam, and he's minus 2,500 on the money line. This is one of the biggest lines I've ever seen for a semi on the money line, but it makes sense because Djokovic has been dominant for the last couple of rounds, and he's only dropped one set in the entire tournament, despite the hamstring plaguing him for the first couple of rounds. But Djokovic, he is currently minus 8.5. Tommy Paul is plus 8.5. I'm sure you could find an 8 somewhere around where it's going to be more even towards the minus 110 apiece. The over-under is 30.5, juice towards the under at minus 115. And for the total games on each player, if you want to go for the player props, Tommy Paul's 11.5 at minus 120 on the over, 11.5 on the under is minus 110, and Djokovic is under 19.5 at minus 160, over 19.5 at plus 130. Djokovic in straight sets is minus 200, and yeah, basically you're just expecting Djokovic to roll here. You have some other props available too with breaks of serve and with aces and double faults and all that stuff. But say I'm going to start off with you, since you have been on the Tommy Paul train all tournament long, but you've also cashed with Djokovic recently with the 3-0 win against Rublev. I think we're both not expecting Tommy Paul to have an actual shot to win the match. I'll ask you this. Do you think Tommy Paul wins a set?
Well, I don't think I've ever seen something like a minus 2,000 in a semifinal.
That's what I'm saying. I've never seen it before. I'm trying to think of even Nadal in the French Open. I don't think I've ever seen 2,500 before.
Yeah, it's crazy just because we go back two matches here and Djokovic looks like he could be hurt and looks like he's only like a plus 110 to win the tournament here. And just to go back to last match against Rublev, I thought that Rublev actually played pretty well. I think that he was pretty disciplined. He had some really, really nice forehands, ripped it down the line, ripped it across court. Of course, he had his unforced errors there, but I actually think he looked very, very disciplined compared to what I've seen him in the past. But even he says Djokovic is just the best he's ever seen him. And that's just wild when you just think about that he had an injury, what, like 1 week ago, maybe less, or like, and his performance versus Dimitrov. It's just absolutely wild. But I can't argue against it because of how he's performed so perfectly against Demonauer and Rublev that I'm not going to go against Djokovic here. I'm not going to say that Tommy Paul is going to be able to win this. Of course, somehow, you know, there is a chance that Djokovic's injury like flares up. Like, it's not impossible here, but I just am not going to go against him with how perfect his performance has been against Rublev and Demonauer. Just high level. They both say it's the best he's ever played. I just can't go against him and say Tommy Paul's going to win a set here.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to beat Djokovic or even give him a run for his money, and Djokovic, assuming, is at relatively full strength. Let's say Djokovic is at 90%. If you're going to win a set off of him, or if you're going to make a match of it, you got to possess some unique attributes. You got to bring something to the table, whether it's a huge serve, a huge forehand, something that maybe can catch Djokovic off guard. Props to Tommy Paul for making it this far. But the issue is, I don't think he possesses any of those unique attributes. He's mostly a big rally guy who served very well against Shelton. I'll give him props there. But he's not normally a great server in terms of the overall speed. He's fine. He can occasionally dial it up, but he mostly doesn't. And he's a big rally guy, as I said before. And you're not going to out-rally Djokovic in Australia. And I don't think that it's a good matchup for Paul, obviously, besides the fact that Djokovic excels at everything. Tommy Paul doesn't do anything better than Djokovic, so I don't know what he's supposed to do in order to break through here. Djokovic over 4.5 breaks of serve in this match is minus 185. They're expecting Paul to get absolutely just dominated, and I can't really disagree. Paulie could also argue might struggle with the overall, I'd say, size of the moment. On one hand, he's got nothing to lose because he's against the best player of all time. On the other hand, he has never been in a match this important in his entire career, and we've seen some players tighten up. So I think Djokovic could just destroy him early on, and if you go down a set to Djokovic, good luck coming back, because most people don't. So I think Djokovic kills him. I think he's going to win probably in, I'd say, less than 10, I'd say less than 11 games per set. I think it's 6-4 or less in every set. I think he's going to win comfortably. My favorite play is the under. I like under 30.5. I think Djokovic wins this match comfortably. I think you'll probably see a 6-2 in there. I think Djokovic is going to break him twice in a set, maybe multiple times. But I am going to go with the best player that I've ever seen in Djokovic against a guy who plays a similar style, but significantly worse. Not Paul's fault, because Djokovic is the best at the style ever. But I think Djokovic wins probably 6-4 or less in every set. My favorite play is the under 30.5. It's the only way you could find value with a minus 2,500 favorite.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't have said it better myself with the unique attributes there. Tommy Paul is a very good tennis player. He's really shown us that he can produce well.
He's consistently solid in a lot of areas, but I don't think he's top three in the world in anything, you know?
Yeah, you need to have, like you said, a big serve here to throw Djokovic off his game, but he's kind of playing a game that Djokovic knows exactly how to play. So if you're playing the same game, you can't really throw him off guard there. So I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, even if you see a 7-6, a 6-1 is out of hand in the least. Mm-hmm. So the under 30.5, I have to agree with. I see a prop. I don't see much value on it, but I see a prop. Djokovic to win, serve the most aces, and under 30.5 at plus 150. I think Djokovic will serve the most aces. He's been constantly serving more than Tommy Paul has. So if you want to get plus money and you want to go for something that you don't have to take minus 115, whatever, then you have that prop at plus 150 in your back pocket.
I think the only thing that scares me from props like that is that if they tie on aces, you lose, correct? I'm assuming you lose because it's a three-part bet, and I'm assuming all of them have to happen in order for you to actually win.
Yeah, I believe so.
So that's the only thing that scares me, is that you're not even getting it. You're basically getting Djokovic minus half an ace.
Yes, which is also a prop here, and that prop is Djokovic serve most aces minus 225, minus a half, minus 225.
Okay, so that's not necessarily really terrible.
But in minus 225, you parlay with the minus 115. I think it's a better payout than plus 150.
Probably.
I'm not positive.
I think probably. But you also threw in the under, and you're throwing in Djokovic minus 2,500. So the point is you need a parlay calculator just to confirm or deny it. But I think we're on the same page here. Props to Tommy Paul. Good run. Cool story with his mother showing up right before the quarterfinal match, and they showed his mom in attendance for that match against Shelton, which I thought was pretty cool. But I don't think he's got a shot in this match. Djokovic is the best player I've ever seen, and he's the best Australian Open tennis player of all time. I don't care what anybody else says. I think that if you want to argue Nadal's better all time, be my guest. For Australian Open tennis, Djokovic is the GOAT, and he's undefeated in the semis and the final of the Australian Open. I believe he's 9-0 in the semis and the final in his career. Never lost. Mm-hmm. So I can't go against that. So give me an easy blowout win by Djokovic and a couple of nice moments along the way for Paul, but nothing substantial. And Djokovic wins comfortably.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Okay. So I don't have any value on the props, by the way. I don't really see much. However, I will mention that Djokovic, according to the site that I'm looking at, his aces prop is over under 9.5, and Paul's aces prop is over under 5.5. So Djokovic is given basically a 4-ace head start in the props, so he should have the most aces. But to move on to the other match, the more competitive one, you have a matchup between Tsitsipas and Khachanov. As you're looking at Tsitsipas being a big favorite, he's minus 265 on the money line, minus 4.5 games. Khachanov is plus 4.5. At minus 120, and the money line the other way is plus 225. The over-under for games is 40.5, minus 110 apiece. You can also get the over 3.5 sets at minus 200, And then you have a bunch of alternative lines, and you have some aces and double faults and breaks of serve props. Sam, historically speaking, Tsitsipas has kind of dominated in the head-to-head. However, Kachanov has looked really, really good in this event, and I thought he was going to beat Korda last round. We kind of disagreed there, and he ended up getting it done. But I do want to ask you, though, since Tsitsipas has been so good in the head-to-head, and since really besides the Sinner match, and Sinner's a top 10 player, besides the Sinner match, Tsitsipas has been pretty comfortable throughout the event. So my question for you is, do you think Kachanov has a serious chance to pull off the upset? And if you do, do you think Tsitsipas is going to lose? Because looking at the head-to-head, Tsitsipas is 5-0.
Yeah, so I think that he does have a chance to pull up the upset. Do I think that it's going to happen? I do not, but I do think that it is possible. We've seen Kachanov play some really, really good tennis lately, and if he's able to keep his service up, we talked about this in a prior podcast about how he has to keep his service games up, and or his first serve up, I'm sorry, and then that's his key to winning in the match. And I think it's the same thing here. He's got to keep his first service games up, his first service points up. He's got to keep his aces up. And that's what he's been doing throughout this tournament. And that's why he's been gaining such tremendous success. I just think that Tsitsipas is playing very good tennis. I think he's playing on top of his game right at the moment on this tournament. So I do think that Tsitsipas's mobility and is able to create some interesting shots for Kachanov is going to really throw him off guard. And at the end of the day, I think Tsitsipas is going to probably win. But I do think that there is a chance that Kachanov can draw the upset. So I'm looking more on the over or the Kachanov spreads on this match compared to just going over to the Tsitsipas side and thinking it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, for me, I like Kachanov plus 4.5 games. I think it's going to be a war. I think you might see 4 or 5 sets. Kachanov to win a set here is minus 275. So people are expecting a bit of a marathon match here, and I think you're going to end up seeing one. Tsitsipas was very good against Leshchenko. Leshchenko is also in the biggest match of his career, and there were a couple moments where it might have gotten a little bit dicey, but for the most part, it was pretty easy for Tsitsipas. But Kachanov had an even easier match against a better player in Korda. I love how Kachanov's played, and I think that he's got value to win the match. Tsitsipas, we know when things get tough, he can occasionally blink, and it could be a problem for him. I think Kachanov's got a good chance to win 2 sets. I think you're going to see a really, really long match. So I guess I might be leaning to Kachanov over 19.5 games. I think you'll see a very long match where Kachanov has his moments, and I think he's got a pretty good shot to actually win the match. But I do think my two favorite bets in this match are going to be Kachanov plus 4.5 games, and I'm a big fan of the over 1.5 breaks of serve at minus 150. He did it for me last match. Unfortunately, it didn't count because Korda got injured. But you're looking at the matchups historically speaking, and Kachanov and Tsitsipas have broken each other quite regularly, actually. So neither guy's had much success serving against the opposition. And I do think that Kachanov will have a bunch of breakpoint chances in this match. So I'm going to go with Kachanov over 1.5 breaks. Even Leshchenko had opportunities against Tsitsipas. Tsitsipas just fought off all of them. I believe he went 6-for-6 in breakpoint saved. I want to pull up the actual stats there. But I know Leshchenko had opportunities against Tsitsipas' serve. Let me see the percentages here. He went 8-for-8. So Leshchenko had 8 breakpoints, and he failed all of them. So the fact is, it means Tsitsipas' serve might be a bit overvalued, because his opponents have had breakpoint chances. 1.5 breaks of serve for Kachanov, doesn't that sound extremely low? That sounds extremely low to me.
Yeah, I was very surprised I even said that. Even in their last 2 out of 3 match, given it may have been it was on clay in Rome, Kachanov was able to break him twice in that match. That's just 2 out of 3. I think that's kind of crazy that you're even able to get that number on there. I'm in total agreement with you. I like that over 1.5 breaks for Kachanov in this one.
Yeah, but I'm also looking at the previous head-to-head matches, and Tsitsipas dominated in Toronto. That was the last hardcourt match they had. 6-3, 6-2. Kachanov still had 2 break points in that match. I'm looking at the Rotterdam match, and that was a hardcore indoor match. That was a while ago. But you're looking at Tsitsipas winning 2-1, very competitive. It went 7-5 in the third set, which was the decider. I see something along those lines. It was 6-4 Kakhanov followed by 6-3, 7-5 Tsitsipas. So I see that type of match where it's going to be a decent amount of games in each set. It's going to be a bit of a war. And in those three sets, you're looking at the break numbers here, and each guy had at least four breaks. You had Kakhanov, who had four breaks. He went 4-for-9 on break point chances, and Tsitsipas went 5-for-9 in break point chances. So in those three sets, Tsitsipas had to face 9 break points, and he was able to fight off basically half of them. But Kakhanov historically has done pretty well against the Tsitsipas serve. The problem is Tsitsipas has done equally, if not better, against the Kakhanov serve. So I think 1.5 breaks is probably my favorite bet of the match there. -150? Really? Like, I don't really care what the juice is there. That should be 2.5, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're talking about game matches that are 2 out of 3. We now have 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
So I definitely like that 1.5 as well. I think he'll get his opportunities. And 2 is just, it's nothing. It's basically, if it goes 5, it's every other set. If it goes 4, it's every other set. So I'm in agreement with you on that one. I like that over 1.5. I don't mind the total if you're scared that Kakhanov's not going to pull off 1.5, which I think is ridiculous. I also like the over 5.5 at +100 because of how many times these guys break each other.
Yeah, and the 5.5 I see a +120, which I think has a lot of value to it. But yeah, I think my two favorite plays for Kakhanov are going to be the +4.5 games. I am tempted by that 19.5 for a game total because I just mentioned a lot of their sets have been relatively long. You haven't had many tie breaks though, which is a bit concerning because you kind of want that 6-game set where he loses, and that would definitely be a nice boost for you if it ends up going 4. But I'm going to go with Kakhanov plus the 4.5 games, and my favorite play is going to be the Kakhanov over 1.5 breaks of serve.
Yeah, I also like Kakhanov to serve the most aces in this one. He's consistently been doing it throughout the tournament. He's been every match I see here, he's been matching up and beating him on the aces. So
do you have like the price
minus
on that?
-150.
Okay, I was going to say, because I see the only type of aces prop that I see is going to be the individual team totals. And you have Kakhanov at 13.5, and you have Tsitsipas at 11.5.
Yeah, it's -150 for him to have the most aces.
Okay.
I like that as well.
Okay. But it seems like we kind of see eye to eye in both these matches.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that the Tsitsipas Kakhanov is going to be competitive, and the way that Joker's playing is just, you can't really debate it or argue against it. So.
Yeah, I think now that I think about it, I might actually lean a bit more into Kakhanov. I think, you know what? Let's have some fun. I think he's going to win. I'm gonna take Kakhanov to win the match. I think it's gonna go 4 or 5. So I probably would potentially consider taking Kakhanov and both players to win a set, which might be a pretty decent payout, which I'll pull up quickly. But I don't know. The more that I think about this match, I think Tsitsipas is a bit overvalued. I saw him against Sinner; he was up 2-0. Then it got very dicey, and he immediately punted the following two sets before Sinner just couldn't defer serve and lost in 5. And I mentioned that he beat Leshika in straight sets, but once again, he went 8-for-8 in break point saved. The point is, his serve has been quite vulnerable, and I think his serve's been worse than Kakhanov's up to this point in the tournament. And Kakhanov really made easy work of Korda, and I'm not exactly the highest guy on Korda. He had a great run in this event. But Kakhanov has really been clicking, both with the forehand, the backhand, the serve, and he just made the semis in the U.S. Open. And Kakhanov even said that he kind of reinvented himself when it comes to his actual style of play. And it's paid dividends. That's why I don't know how much stock to put into the previous matchups, because Kakhanov has stated publicly several times that he's changed his style of play. And I respect him for being around for this long and for trying to tinker with what hasn't worked and try to figure out why it hasn't worked and what he can do to fix it. I think Kakhanov's really poised to pull off the upset here now that I really think about it. But my favorite bets aren't going to change. I just think there's going to be some value on Kakhanov to win the match. But if you can take him and each player to win a set, you can get that, unfortunately. Okay, I found it. Kakhanov to win and each player to win a set is +280.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think Tsitsipas definitely will win a set there, so it makes sense. There's also a fun one. This is, I don't think I've ever seen this before, but fun prop. Darren Khachanov come from a breakdown and win the first set and the match plus 2,000. AKA Tsitsipas breaks first in the first set, but Khachanov is able to break him back and then wins the first set and also wins the match plus 2,000.
Okay, so I just have to at least point out that legalized gambling has resulted in some of the stupidest, most outlandish props I can remember. I'm not complaining. You know, we're all degens here. Hashtag degens only. But still, that's a very unique prop.
It's called the Comeback King.
I like it. The Comeback King Khachanov? The Comeback King Khachanov?
To be the Comeback Kid. Comeback King, not the kid, the king.
Comeback King Karen Khachanov?
Plus 2,000.
I mean, that has a nice ring to it there. The alliteration, I mean, come on. That's something that you're going to have to at least talk about if he ends up cashing it. But plus 2,000, I don't hate. We talked about how both guys break each other all the time.
Yeah, if you like to throw in a fun one on these matches, you want to have a big plus money to root for while you have your real plays going on, you put a sprinkle on the big plus money, is definitely one to look at.
Speaking of which, by the way, do you have the odds on Djokovic to not get broken in the match?
I do have that. I do have just not broken or not face a break point.
We'll talk about both. I don't think the value is going to be great because he has not been broken the last two matches, but I have to bring it up because we think Djokovic is going to roll.
Not to lose a service game plus 125.
Oh, what a bunch of garbage.
Not to face a break point plus 900.
Okay.
Not to lose a service game plus 125.
That's just highway robbery. Ridiculous. Okay. Everything I just said about that match and how tempted I was by that, disregard it. That's awful. Terrible. Oh, boy. That's such a shame.
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy odds.
There is a prop, though. Djokovic to win every set 6-3 or 6-4 is plus 300. Djokovic to win every set 6-0, 6-1, or 6-2 is plus 1,000.
I can't do it. That's just too crazy. You never know.
It is wild.
There's going to be a 6-3, 6-4, and then there could be a 6-1. I mean, the previous matches have shown that.
I'm trying to think what else there is. Djokovic to hold his first three service games in the first two sets, minus 280.
Unbelievable.
It's expected domination, so we're trying to find some value here, but whatever. I maybe wouldn't mind that 6-3, 6-4 prop, but you might get a 6-1, 6-2 there where Djokovic just rolls and you just lose at that point. So, yeah, I don't see much there, but it's always fun to talk about some of the exotic props. That Comeback King one, I think, is actually kind of fun for Khachanov.
It's enjoyable. So. It's definitely enjoyable.
It's enjoyable until he breaks first, and then you just lose immediately. But still.
Then you have your other plays, and you're good.
Correct. But other than that, though, it's kind of going to wrap up our breakdowns for the first two matches, or for the semis. And, of course, we'll be back once again later on in the week for the final. We might have a special guest, spoiler, for the final, so stay tuned for that. But Sam, it is time to go through our favorite picks for the semifinal matches. I'm going to let you go first. What is your lock and dog?
All right. My lock, I mentioned it before in this podcast, and I think it's the best play here. Well, actually, you kind of mentioned it, but it's going to be on Djokovic. I just think that he's going to be too dominant in this match. I was really, the reason why I'm slowing down here is that I was really considering the serve the most aces at under 30.5, but I'm not going to go for it. I'm just going to go for the under 30.5 at minus 115. I just think he'll be too dominant in this one. And I think Tommy Paul plays pretty much the style of Demon Hour. I think they're kind of comparable.
So yeah, they're very comparable in my opinion.
The under 30.5 total games in this match.
And what is your dog?
All right, I'm going to go over to the Tsitsipas match, and I'm going to go with a little bit of a plus money play here. Not anything crazy, but I'm going to go with the, I guess you could consider it, but I don't know. Plus 100, over 5.5 total breaks in the Khachanov-Tsitsipas match. I guess you could call it a dog. I'm going to say it's a dog here.
No, it is a dog. I found 120 on 5.5 breaks.
Beautiful. Plus, over 5.5, plus 120. These guys just break each other so often here. I definitely think Lozano is going to hit the over 1.5. I think that might be your lock. I'm kind of feeling that, but I think he's definitely going to hit that. I think it's a good play. Just a lot of juice to be my lock on this one. So I'm just going to go with the over 5.5 total breaks of serve in this match, plus 120.
Yeah, well, you read my mind there, because I'm going to go with the over 1.5 breaks as my lock. I did this last episode, and it pushed, but he went well over. He broke Korda all the damn time, even before the injury, and he ended up having 4 at that point. My lock's going to be Kashanov over 1.5 breaks. I can't say no to it. Tsitsipas has been serving well, but he's also faced a lot of adversity, and he's served out of it in a decent amount. But the point is, I want to actually pull up the center stats against Kashanov, against Tsitsipas, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe Sinner was like 4 for 26 on break points, I think. It was something absurd, but I'm pretty sure Sinner had like 26 break point chances in that match. Let me pull this up.
The answer is,
I am correct. Tsitsipas saved 22 of 26 break point chances. So he's really not been serving as well as you think for Tsitsipas. I think that Kashanov's going to be able to get deep into these service games and make it a war and make it a battle. And I do think that you'll see him struggle to hold at various points. 1.5 breaks is nothing for a 3-5 match that could go 4 or 5. My lock's going to be Kashanov over 1.5. Laheka had 8 break point chances. Sinner had 26. I'll take my chances on 1.5 breaks for Kashanov there at minus 150. And for my dog, I was torn for my lock between that and the under 30.5 games in the Djokovic match. So I'm going to go with an alt line. I'll take the under 29.5 at plus 110. I see 1-6-2 set in here, maybe less, but I think Djokovic kills him. And you compared Paul to Dimonor, which I agree with based on style. And I think that we saw how badly that worked out for Dimonor. So I think that you're going to see Djokovic win comfortably. I'll go with an alternative total. I'll go with the under 29.5 as my dog at plus 110. So once again, the lock for the show for Sam is going to be the under 30.5 games in that Djokovic match at minus 115. His dog will be the over 5.5 breaks of serve combined between Tsitsipas and Kashanov at plus 120. My lock will be Kashanov team total breaks over 1.5 at minus 150. And my dog will be the alt total. I'll take Djokovic and Paul under 29.5 games at plus 110.
I don't know if you realize this, but in the Tommy Paul Ben Shelton match, I don't know if you thought about this when saying your dog there, but Tommy Paul actually had 8 backhand winners.
That's huge. It changes everything. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, I watched the match. It was definitely a game changer. Do you see a prop on that? Do you have under 8.5 with Djokovic under with aces and whatever for plus 500?
No, I only see the comeback king.
It's unfortunate, but yeah, it means nothing to me. Djokovic eats backhand winners for breakfast. I think he's ready to go in that one, but yeah, I watched the match, though. I thought Paul looked good, but, you know.
I understand.
Yeah. That was a hell of a segue you had there, or a hell of a footnote you had to throw in for that match. But I did notice that Paul did have some problems converting on break points. He converted a couple of times. Shelton, though, great server. Phenomenal server for a guy who's basically 20. So we'll see if Paul can break through. I do think Djokovic will face a break point at some point in the match. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah, I mean, I have the under 30.5, so I'm just completely with you.
Yeah, I know. But you brought up the backhand winners. So other than that, that's going to wrap it up for the semis. We'll be back once again probably tomorrow night. I don't know what Sam's schedule is, but I feel like we probably can record the episode on Friday night. So we're going to aim for tomorrow because we know he's going to play, so why not? And we might have a guest on with us, so keep an eye on that. But I'm going to keep the guest, potential guest, a surprise, because in case it falls through, then I don't have to explain myself. So you can find me on Twitter, at Rice Show Radio. You can find me, of course, on this podcast, on the NBA Gambling Podcast, on the NFL Gambling Podcast. And Sam, where can the people find you?
You can find me at Sam Jacob Tennis. I have not had an 0-2 round this whole tournament. So You follow me for my picks over at SamJacobTennis on Twitter.
Yep, and you can find me on Twitter once again at Rice Show Radio. But until next time, had to one-up you there at the end. But, as always, once again, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.